couple months in through John, if you really look at that doctrine, everything it talks about has to do with end times. One, the belief isn't that he died for his sins. Believe what? That Jesus is the Son of God, right? Then it says, be baptized. And the baptism has to do with what?
Water.
Yeah, here it does have to do with water. It has to do with purification of a priesthood. And then it tells you to endure unto the end. And the enduring has to do what? Unto death. And that is ultimately where they've got to take it. And I started thinking about every part of the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the sellout. Why the sellout? So they won't be tempted. And then keep the commandments. Well, that's what the priesthood was all about, wasn't it? Again, it's kind of a priestly thing. And then, what's the last one? I'm missing one here. Oh. You got to follow Jesus. And all of that, huh? Yeah, take up your cross and follow Jesus. These things, every single aspect, if you think about it, deals with the tribulation period. I didn't really start thinking about it until the other day, and I don't know why it wasn't like a light just all of a sudden came on. It was like, you know, every aspect, really, if you think of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every aspect had to do not with hope of salvation. It had to have hope of getting through that tribulation period. And it really, if you think about it in that aspect, and I know at 50 years of age and 25 years of knowing grace, but I started thinking, you know, that's the aspect that people don't really get. Go to Matthew 24 in verse 13. And, you know, I guess it was last Wednesday that the simplicity just kind of hit me. You know, why are people struggling? We played a song the other day, and Jeff was all over me. Yeah, your timing's off. Well, I have no idea what 6/8 timing is. Now, I heard it's oompa, oompa, oompa dee day. Anyway, today I got 6/8. So oompa, 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 that's, you know, 6/8. I have no idea. But anyway, going back to that, it's like trying to play 6/8 while I was playing 4/4. Y'all understand there would be a conflict there. And that's exactly what people are doing in when they don't rightly divide the word. They're making things that don't fit, trying to force them to fit. And in that, they're struggling, because how many here has ever struggled with the idea of enduring unto the end?
Amen.
And many of us have struggled with that. Well, what does that mean, endure unto the end? And I guarantee you the churches are filled with people trying to figure that out. And if they thought about it, and as I drew those three circles basically, the body of Christ, the priesthood, and the Gentiles that blessed last week, I started thinking, you know, as I look back down in my mind in the gospel, I said there is really not one aspect of hope of eternal life. They're not offering eternal life. They're offering if you go all the way to the end and take your life, you can gain. Why are they poor?
They sold out.
Yeah, can anybody give me a verse? What?
Luke 12:33
really says it.
Yeah.
Give me another one. Anybody else give me another one? That's a good one. Luke 12:33 is one.
Matthew 19
is a good one. He tells them to sell out. What's another one?
Acts 2:44.
Yes?
It's also in Matthew 4:41.
Well, we're going to get to John 4:24 in just a minute. Do what? Matthew 6:19.
Matthew 4:41.
So there's numerous verses why they're poor. And they sold out. So we know, where is this? Where does this passage fit?
Tribulation.
It's in the tribulation. You got it? All right. So he says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. How do they know that those aren't Jews? They took the mark. They're not doing the work. Are they baptized?
Yes.
Probably not.
Or could be.
Well, probably in this case not. Why? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see that? So probably not. The chances of it, it would probably be more of an idea of they're not doing the works. Someone's the verse earlier, go to Matthew chapter 10.
But they won't have a flesh body in this
state. A what?
They won't have a flesh body.
No, it will not be fleshly. It will be soulish. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Matthew 24, verse 13. You should have written right there in your Bible. You all understand the importance of this passage? These are tribulation passages. Matthew 24, verse 13. And Revelation 2, verse 10. Now, do you understand the importance of why that's important doctrine? How can you be an eternal priesthood if you haven't died? You see, the problem is this priesthood isn't after the order of Aaron. It's after the order of who?
Melchizedek.
You got it? So what is one of the mandatory needs for these people to do? They have to die. Go to Hebrews just for a second. We did this verse a couple weeks ago, but it may bear witness better here than there. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. What?
Verse 11.
Very good. Son has done Tony well.
Didn't turn my legs dark. You're still white.
I was going to put my shades on, but I thought it might embarrass you.
It's all right.
Hey, listen, I got legs so white, the beach starts to look tannish. In Hebrews 7, verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people would have received the law, what further need was there of another priesthood that should rise after the order of what?
Melchizedek.
And not be called after the order of Aaron. Now watch, here's the problem. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Why? New priests would come in, and don't we see this a little bit in America politics? That the judges are almost interpreting the law they want. And they've taken basic laws that we know are true and bent them to where we don't even recognize them. Has anybody noticed that, or is that just me?
They put their opinion on.
Yeah, basically. And that's what the Levitical priesthood did. But if they were born again from the dead and they were eternal, what were the chances of that going to happen? Zero. You see the problem? So they were actually going to take a martyr's death, and that martyr's death was going to ensure the priesthood, that kingdom of priests, and on and on. Look down here. I think it's a little bit further in the passage. Verse 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude, and the word similitude means likeness, so you can write that, of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of what? For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the... Well, how did they do that? Death. It was the only way to get it. Period. Now, you can say whatever you want. Let's just read down a little bit. Let's do 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And in much as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this one with an oath by him that said, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And of course, you know who the high priest is.
Christ.
So why did he have to die first? He was the high priest, right? What was the rest of the priesthood having to do? They had to die too. That's why he said, take up your cross and follow after me. Why? Because they were going from a carnal priesthood down into the grave and be raised a what?
Spiritual
priesthood.
So you're saying they're soulish
bodies? They are soulish people.
So you could see them, but
yes. They will have the same body, I believe, like Jesus had when he walked through the wall and he could eat. He had people touch him, but he was not fleshly. You all understand? They will have that kind of a body. That's the kind of body. Are you hot?
The air's on. It's running.
Okay. What? I can't help it. Anyway. So, do you all understand how important this is? That priesthood, that nation of priests, remember Exodus 19, 5 and 6, you'll be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation of peculiar. That kingdom of priests, did I emphasize all? All must die. Go to Ezekiel 37. I think Stan had a good idea. This is the national resurrection of Israel. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord, verse 1. Was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was much in the open valley and lo, they were very dry. Why does he emphasize the very dryness? I mean, it...
No life at all.
No life at all. He's trying to prove that there's no life. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Have many seen the movie Mummy? Where do you think they got that picture from?
Yeah.
It was in Ezekiel 37, guys. And it's going to happen to Israel. So I don't believe it. Well, that's your problem, is unbelief. I will lay sinews upon you. What is sinews?
Strength,
muscles, energy. And will bring up flesh upon you. Did anyone see that Pharaoh start to gain flesh and stuff? Except it ain't going to be because of some hokey pokey thing. It'll be because of God Almighty. And cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew was a sinew, and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord of hosts, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. Guess what? They live. And you can read the rest. I'm not going to read the rest. But you can tell that God, hey, listen, is going to resurrect Israel as an eternal army and an eternal priesthood and a kingdom of priests as promised. And how long will they be that?
Forever.
Why? They're after the order of who? And what do we know about Melchizedek? He has no beginning and no end. You got it? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a forming of that priesthood. Thus the baptism, thus the enduring, thus the selling out. You know, all of that stuff was part of it. Did the priesthood own anything?
No.
How'd they get fed? All the tithing and the sacrifices and things like that. They didn't have any land so they could go out and raise up. You all understand? They were dependent. Why would they have to sell out? So they would be dependent upon the Lord. I mean, every aspect, if you really think about this, has to do with the priesthood. There isn't one single aspect. Now, John 3:16. Go to John 3:16 for a minute. Now, I don't believe John 3:16 is the gospel. Now, there are many, many people that would disagree with me. And I can tell you, it's okay if you want to be wrong. One, John 3:16 is what? Well, yeah, but I mean even more than that. John 3:16 has no gospel words in it. I mean, listen to this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is ambiguous.
If you read the rest of it, they believed that He was the Son of God, and that was it.
I mean, it has nothing to do with that He died for your sins and died even on the cross. Well, not one passage.
No, but it says if you believe on Him, you'll have everlasting life.
Well, you will ultimately have everlasting life, but they didn't have it right away. And look at the attitude of John 4. See, what they don't do is they don't read to John 4, verse 22. Watch this. Right in the context. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Do you believe that?
Not today.
Not today. Is there any Jew or Gentile today? Any bond or free? Can anybody get saved?
Yeah.
But here, how would you have had to get saved? Salvation is of the Jew. I don't know anybody teaching that, do you?
So whosoever is exclusive to Jews.
Exactly would have been exclusive to the Jews.
What verse did you just read? I was reading further down on John
3. You were carried away in the spirit. Elaine, come back. You're going to the light. John 4:22. Y'all understand? This stuff is so important. He hadn't even crucified. They didn't have a clue what was going on.
That's right. My only problem with that is it says whosoever.
Yeah, but who would have been the whosoever? That was why I read verse 22.
Jews haven't become OMI.
Yeah, the Jews have not been. They're the only whosoevers.
So it wouldn't have been grace had come in. It's still in the law.
That's why I read 22. You know not what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the what?
Jews.
Of the Jews. Then whosoever would have been who?
The Jews.
Go to John 14:6. Go to John 14. I think it's John 14:6. Won't that be embarrassing if it isn't? But it is.
This gospel couldn't even preach to the
dead. Well, that, and that's the whole point. There is no way that he's preaching the death, burial, and resurrection that would be our salvation in John chapter 3.
It couldn't be like foreshadowing?
No. Why? Why? That's a good question. Why? The answer is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 and 8. Read it. Read it out loud. That was an intelligent question. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. Read that. Make sure you can pick her up.
I'm trying. So
she asked a good question. Could it have been a foreshadowing?
1 Corinthians.
It's in the Bible. Where are you?
I'm trying to hold my finger on the other one. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 2.
Verse 6, 7, and 8.
Verse 6, 7, and
8. Now, I'm going to interrupt you at times.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
In a mystery. Okay, that's very important. Keep Greek.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Keep going.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it.
It what?
The mystery.
The mystery.
They would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
If they knew that was even a foreshadowing, back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, would they have crucified the Lord of glory?
No.
They had no idea that was the case.
Christ insisted that he came, but the lost sheep and
house. Absolutely.
So that's what this was too, the lost sheep and
house. Exactly.
Even that what he's saying now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many aspects, and that's what triggered it in my mind last week. And I started thinking about the simplicity of that message. Because we do go to John 3:16. I mean, people do that all the time. How incorrect is that, knowing what you just read in 1 Corinthians, had they known it?
Right.
If there was any hint of it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory.
That verse Mac just said, right. that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, this whole thing, if you really think about it, and go to John 14, verse 6. This is another one that they use all the time.
There's something you taught me. Is when you read a scripture, find out who they're talking to, who they're talking for, and who is the message to.
Yes.
And that, you know, and that's what we don't do a lot of times. We just take it that it's ours. And really, it's not. It's for the Jews. It's for somebody else.
Well, see, I wouldn't have any problem. Listen to me very carefully. I would not have a single problem if someone said, okay, I believe John 3:16 is mine, as long as they took John 4, verse 22 as theirs too. You understand? My problem is one says, well, John 3:16, but I don't believe salvation is of the Jew. And look at this. In John 14, verse 6, and I guarantee you, everybody in here could probably quote this. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, that isn't true. Or Gentiles. That and he wanted to show that he could work. of the house of what?
Israel.
I would give you a couple passages, scriptures to put in your Bible notes right now. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the
dogs.
All right, who's the children?
Israel.
And what's the bread?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. It's not right to take the children's bread, the Word of God given to Israel, and cast it to a dog. And she realizes she's out of place. She realizes she doesn't have direct access to God. And this is what she says and why God deals with her. And she said, truth, Lord, you're right. What was I thinking? Yet, I know for a fact, God, I know this for a fact, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Who's their master's table? I get my blessings not from you. I get it from Israel. Israel will get it from you, and a little of it will pass down and come to me. Now, that if you can't get a hold of that in the light of a priesthood and a light of the covenant of Genesis chapter 12 and the light of all that we just read, then you're missing the whole point of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is preparing 12 men for 12 tribes to get them through that tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You say, where's another example? There are only three examples of these people. Go to Luke chapter 7. I like this one. And the reason I like it is what they say and who they send. They don't go directly to Jesus themselves. They don't even know. They know that they're not worthy of that. I'm sorry, I bored you.
Where did you say go?
Luke 7.
I would still read them.
It's good. I'd read the whole book 2 or 3 times a day. If you can physically do it. Luke 7, I'm going to start in verse 1. But now, are you starting to see a little more in depth in these stories why they're so important? Because it is really reflecting the priesthood mentality and the preparation for the tribulation period. And that is what they're doing. They're not trying, praise Him. We're not there. What is all that? And that's why, you know, Jeff's been helping us with the music, and thank God Elaine's come along too, and so now we got something. But you know what? I don't like singing songs that aren't right. Why? It's just like reading scriptures that aren't right or trying to apply the truth incorrectly. So I'm a little more particular than some. And I know that's a hassle, but it's because of this kind of stuff that drives me crazy. Now, when he had ended all of the sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who is a what?
Gentile.
Gentile, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he had sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Did he think he had the right to go talk to Jesus himself?
No.
You know why? John 14, verse 6 didn't apply to him. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's true for a Jew, but bless God, it ain't true for a Gentile. You all understand? The only people that can go to Jesus directly to get to God is who? And for everyone else, it matters not. They have to go through Israel to get to God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there isn't one example in your Bible, not one, that shows any different doctrine in that at all. So can you imagine churches every Sunday morning turning to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 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 and the people are out there thinking they're somehow in obedience to God? You understand how weird that would sound? And people say, well, why do you get frustrated? I have people say, why do you talk about this church or that church? Because it frustrates me. Why? I think about all the people listening. And they just, oh, that was so good, preacher.
And you can see they laugh, reflect what they learned.
Absolutely. Nothingness. They're going through the motions. That's why I like that song. I see the world just going through the motions. They're just going to church every Sunday. I mean, guys, you're not just to come to church here. You're not just to listen on the internet. Get the book into your mind. Get it so it's yours. You own your own faith. It's your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes?
They're doing the same thing with you frustrate Paul.
Oh.
Law with grace.
Absolutely. No. And Paul was frustrated too. In fact, Paul had rude speech. People say, well, you ought to be more gracious. Well, you should have been around when Paul was around. He might even curse. Now, this preacher. Now, watch this. And when they heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him, that is Jesus, that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they, the Jews, besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Well, what made his worth? He loveth our nation, and he had built us a what? He had blessed that Jew, didn't he? As in the covenant of Genesis chapter 12, you need to write that down. Right there, that is a perfect example. Okay, now.
Genesis 1 through 3.
Now, the reason that this is important, and I started thinking all of the simplicity that you, I just want to keep it simple. Is anybody getting any of this tonight?
Amen.
Thank God. This is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Be a pepper, you a pepper, we all are peppers. I'm joking. By the way, for $250, you can sponsor 1 hour of the our telethon. I've had too much time. I'm sorry. And then, just tune in. All right, go to Matthew 24, where we were. Actually, I went 25, but go to 24 first. Matthew does have 25 chapters. Huh? No, 25. I know. No, I said go to Matthew 25. You said it don't.
So you said it's got 25 chapters. I said it's got
28. Well, no, I know, but I mean, I thought you meant 25 wasn't in Matthew. I'm like, yeah, I know it has 25 because we're going to turn there. Matthew 24. Now watch this. Now remember what we just read about the centurion servant and the Syrophoenician woman. And I believe the reason that God put that in the Bible was, one, to show the covenant was still there and still in force of Genesis chapter 12. But more than that, it was also a prelude to the tribulation period. That doctrine is going to be exacerbated. Okay?
What does that word mean?
I don't know, but it sounded good, didn't it? It's going to be enlarged. It is going to be pronounced.
It's going to be put back in force.
Well, more than force, it is going to be the only hope for those Gentiles. And I think when he does that, I think very much what you saw in Matthew 15, Luke chapter 7. One, we know that these people, look back in Matthew 24. And by the way, to Jeff and John 3:16, Matthew 24 is at the end. Okay, now listen to what gospel Jesus is promoting. You all understand? Watch this. And this gospel of the kingdom, which gospel?
The kingdom.
Shall be 14.
24,
14. 20, are y'all,
yeah.
Am I the only one drinking tea and focused here? And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. The gospel of Christ?
No.
The gospel of God?
No.
No, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination, going back to Daniel, where we started this whole study, see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea do what?
Flee.
And let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Why thus the selling out? Because if they aren't sold out, guess what they're going to do? They're going to load up the Volvo and the Hummer with as many stuff as they can as they head toward the mountains. You all with me? And they're not supposed to do that. Why? We're heading into the tribulation, preparation for tribulation. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Why are they not supposed to have more than two coats? God's going to provide for them. Okay, you with me? Now, how is God going to provide?
Gentiles.
Go to Matthew 25, verse 31. And this is the ultimate in blessing. Okay? Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. All right, let's put that down here. They're going to be raised. Here's the second coming, right? Here it is. He's going to come in His glory. And all of His holy angels with Him. And then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and He shall gather all nations. What kind of nations are those?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand. Who are the sheep? Gentile nations. That's right. And the goats on His left. That's right. I mean, it's this right here, this B and C, this scenario is coming to play right here. It is. Listen, it isn't whether you believe that Jesus Christ died for all your sins in this period of time. It's, did you help my people when they were in their time of trouble? The only place that a Gentile can have eternal life is right now. You want your loved ones saved? You got to get them saved now. They're not going to get saved in the tribulation. Probably going to be deceived. But look what he says. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them that are in his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. What gospel were they preaching? The gospel of the
kingdom.
Matthew 24, verse 14. I would probably write that down right there. Buddy, I mean. Matthew 24:14, but dyslexia. All right, I hope you worship dog then. All right, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why is Israel not getting the world? The Gentiles get the world. What do the priesthood get?
The new city,
the temple. How many inheritances are there?
Three.
There's far above all heavens. Whose is that?
Ours.
Then you got in the heavenlies, which is the priesthood. And then the earth, which is the what? And I'll take you just one little step further. You want to get your mind blown? Think about this. The flesh are the Gentiles that go into that kingdom. The Jews get a soulish inheritance. And you're not a, we're not soul winning today. We're quickening spirits, 1 Corinthians 15. And that makes up, ready for this? The fullness of God. It's all of it. His whole kingdom is right there. I mean, I'm telling you guys, people are playing with the book. They're not interested in getting what... I mean, if you got that right there and you understood that, how many hopes are there?
Three.
These people, do they have bodies?
Yes.
Do these people have bodies?
Yes.
What is the difference between this body and this body?
One is physical, one is spiritual.
One soulish.
Soulless.
So what's the difference? Well, you can see this one and touch it. But it will never die. It has been born again from the dead. But you know what? This body here has a problem.
It's got to keep getting them leaves.
It's got to get to those leaves of the tree of life and the 12 manner of fruit to last any length of time. Do you all understand? And the priesthood is going to minister the leaves and the fruit of the tree. Jeff, you're looking at me like you're, I'm crazy as a video.
You need to do a whole sermon on that one.
Well, I can show you that in just a few minutes. But we're not like that at all.
Right.
You know what he says we're likened unto? The stars.
Right.
Okay, when we die, we drop the flesh.
The flesh is coming off.
Spirit, what happens to our soul?
It goes back to be with God. It has nothing to
do
with it. No, well, the spirit of man—that's your heartbeat, your physical. But you have a spirit of God that you will make up the fullness of Him that filleth all in all.
Yeah, he never. That's the three.
That's the Trinity. Guys, listen to me, man. This book is alive. This book is so real. If you could ever get a hold of it, you do. Where I was going to take you and show you what. Oh, Revelation 20. Yeah, go to Revelation.
You're old for his ass.
Well, where are you going to be?
Go to Revelation 22.
Nice.
Revelation 22.
Oh, by the way, I ate at that new Creole restaurant where Dreamland used to be.
Uh huh.
Pretty good.
Good. All right, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Verse 1. clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Why? They're in physical bodies. If they don't get to the tree, they don't make it. They've got to have the tree. You know what, guys?
Once a month.
Yeah, they got to go once a year.
Because they're coming up to worship.
They're coming to worship. And what is priests? What are the priests doing? They're coming to worship God, but the priests are the ministers of God. You got it? They are the mediator between the Gentiles and God. Why? John 14, verse 6 does not apply to who?
Gentiles.
They have to go through Israel. Except in one small segment of time, in a rip in eternity, the church, the body of Christ, we are not only do we have access, we house His entire body of righteousness. We are Him that filleth all in all. We collectively are the task of the embodiment of the Creator of heaven and earth. Is that enough? And any other Gentiles got what you've got? And you know what? We sit around and we moan and complain and hard to get. I understand all that stuff. But you know what? The body of Christ has been called into a very, very special. And you know what? I am right now seated at the right hand of God.
Amen.
You realize I'm not trying to get there. I'm already seated, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, at the right hand of God. You know what? I need nothing more to perfect me.
That's right.
All I'm waiting for is the redemption of this vile body. That's all I'm waiting on. Amen, girl. You got that. And people don't understand these three hopes and all the... I mean, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear priests, tribulation, on and on. You're not going to hear salvation by grace. You're going to hear kingdom message, kingdom message, kingdom message. And you know what? Why do they go into all the... For God so loved the world? Because there's some Gentiles out there that He needs to help take care of His precious. So He loves all the world. But those that curse, you ought to read the rest of Matthew 25 from about 41 to the end of the chapter. And they end up going to hell not because they don't believe, but because they don't bless. They are scattered. But He also loves the Gentiles. Because they're going to take care of His people. And so John 3:16 has that kind of caliber. Not the gospel of the grace of God. What is the gospel of the grace of God? It isn't that He died and was buried and that He rose again. It's that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. That every single sin you have has been placed upon the Lord and He died for them. How many sins do you have?
Zero.
Zero. Why? Because you repented? Because you joined the church? No, the only reason you have no sins is because God made His Son to be sinful.
That's right.
All right, we're done. Any questions?